Well, hi there. This is The Sojourner, speaking to you from the Sojourner's World Hub, the United States of America. We want to welcome those of you here who are here with us and those of you who are listening over the Internet around the world. We know that many of you download these teachings and listen to them over and over again, and we're glad to provide them and hope that the Lord will bless you through them so that you can grow in your walk with Jesus Christ. In this session, we're going to be talking about where the seed is planted, and we're looking in the scriptures at Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. And as I say, I'm going to read this from the New International Version because we have people who speak English from all around the world, and this is international English, so it will help in the understanding of it. So Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he had said this, he called out, "Who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others I speak in parables, so that, though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. You know, those who heard the voice of Jesus when he told the parable of the sower were actually hearing several layers of understanding the scriptures. Oftentimes you've heard me say that the scriptures are much like an onion, and you peel away layer after layer. Once you understand one layer, you discover there's another layer, and you understand that layer, and then you discover there's another layer, and you just keep peeling away as you grow in your knowledge and understanding of the things of God. Notice, Jesus told the story of the sowing to everyone present and set in motion the opportunity to convert any spiritual location, to cover any spiritual location of his listeners. So, in other words, this is like I was saying with the onion. He told the story, but people would hear different aspects of the story depending on what they were able to comprehend, understand, and take in and process. So while some might get a very deep meaning of it, others might walk away going, "Well, it's not a good idea to throw seed on rock because it's not going to grow up and you're not going to get a crop out of it." Other people might get the more deeper meaning of it. Because when you're dealing with Scripture, you're dealing with several layers of seed that's been planted. And that seed is there for the blessing of mankind. But the scripture also tells us that it's the glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of kings to search it out. And so that's why there are those layers. You see, If I tell someone I love them, and I see them when I just happen to cross their path, but that's the only time. I never really have any contact with them. I never do anything with them. I never relate to them. Well, that's very different than saying to someone that you love them and you search them out and you find ways to bless them and you find ways to relate to them. But it's the same thing with this scripture here. You can say, oh, I'm interested in the Word of God, but if you never seek it out, if you never search it out, if you never scratch down from layer to layer to layer, then it shows exactly where you stand in your relationship to the Word of God and your life with God. Now, you know, if you look at a seed, it has little or no ability to determine where it falls and, therefore, is planted. Just because a seed falls does not mean it's planted, as we see by what happens when it falls on the rock. The outcome of a seed and its germination are dependent upon where it is planted. Now, we learn from our scripture that the seed that God wants planted is planted in the heart. And he said that Satan comes to steal that from the heart. You know, insight as to the challenges of life can be seen in the examples of what Jesus said happens to a non-husbanded seed. In other words, a seed that's not been planted and cultivated and cared for and watered and fertilized. So we talk about along the path, it gets trampled and eaten by the birds of the air. Now, what am I saying here? And what's the scripture saying here? You can be on the path, but if you stay on the path of the world, you will find that you will be trampled by that very worldly path. You're going to be trampled and you'll be eaten up by whatever opportunist comes along to just gobble away. Now, the seed on the rock, well, it withered because there was no moisture. In other words, there was no baptism to protect it and care for it and bring it on into maturity. And then there's among the thorns, which is really, if you spend all of your time among unbelievers, you find that you're continually being challenged to the point that many times people won't even mention anything about Jesus because they don't want to have to undergo the ridicule or the problems that may come up there. You see? So it gets choked out because they're around thorny people who are always scratching and cutting away at their faith. And these are the unbelievers, and they'll do that. You know, unbelievers, I don't know if you really realize it, but unbelievers sometimes can be great evangelists of unbelief. You know, people will sometimes laugh and ridicule a Christian for evangelizing, for telling people the story of Jesus, for planting the seed of the gospel in people's hearts. And they'll ridicule them for that and tell them they're a fanatic. But is it not interesting that the world does not see unbelievers as fanatics when they continually attack the things of God, ignore the things of God, make fun of the things of God, and make fun of the people of God? That's not fanaticism. That's just supposed to be just being realistic. What deception there is in the world. And when these unbelievers, these thorns that people can find themselves planted in and among, and right now if you're a new believer, I'm talking to you, you need to pull away from the thorns for a while. You need to pull back a little bit. And it's fine to tell people what the Lord has done for you. I mean, in your excitement as a new believer, you may actually have people come to the Lord just because of that. That's a good thing. But you cannot remain just among the thorns. You've got to get among the people that God has placed in the body of Christ for the development of the saints. Now, saints here are believers. That's the scriptural meaning of saints. They're believers. And believers have challenges being always around unbelievers. But now let me talk out of the other side of my mouth, as we sometimes say, for a moment. We also have a problem with believers only ever being around believers, because if you're only ever around believers, you're not going to be able to witness to anybody that they would want to become a believer. They would want to have the peace that you have. They would want to have the understanding of the things of God that you have if they never, ever are around anyone, because we're all so holy that we're in our own little holy tower someplace trying to out-holy each other. That's not what the Lord wants either. But for a period of time, as a new believer, I believe for 2 to 3.5 years, you need to stick very, very closely to someone who can pastor you, can help you develop, can help you learn about the things of the kingdom, so that you can understand how to deal with the situations where the thorns grow up and try to strangle you, or the enemy comes and says, that really didn't happen to you. You really didn't. You're really no different. You didn't really do that. You know, I know that one of the things that the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association has always done, Dr. Graham would always tell people when they accepted Christ to write in their Bible where they were, what they said, that exact time it happened. Because he said, in a few days, the enemy is going to come to you and tell you nothing ever happened. And you can open your Bible and you can say, oh, yes, it did. It happened right there on Tuesday at whatever time on Tuesday. This is what happened. This is when I accepted Christ. This is when I became born again. This is when I became a member of the kingdom of the blessing of God. This is when I became subject to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Christ. Now, there's another kind of place where the seed falls, and this is on the good soil. And this, is, the Scripture tells us, yields a hundredfold crop. It's watered, it's encouraged, and it's nourished. How awful is your life if you're never encouraged or never nourished by anyone or anything? Can you imagine what would happen if you suddenly stopped drinking water and never ate? Only a few days, you would die. Well, that's what the physical body needs. But I'm here to tell you, my friends, the spirit and the soul need to be watered with the Word, encouraged in the Word, and nourished in the Word. You see, the Scripture is very clear that we must renew our minds. Our minds have to be made new again. They have to be renewed so that we can understand the things of God, because we will actually, and I'll touch on this in a minute, we will actually be able to understand the secrets of God, the secret things that people just wandering around, groping around through life may never come to the knowledge of. But we can help them with that by our testimony. But we have to be in good soil. We have to allow ourselves to be encouraged, to be watered, and to be nourished. Do you have ears? Are you able to listen? And are you teachable? You know, it's very interesting. I've met many people. I don't care whether they have accepted Christ. I mean, I care whether they accepted Christ. What I'm saying here is, these people, you can't teach them anything anywhere. They know everything. They're not willing to listen and learn. But if you're willing to listen and you're teachable, God will teach you, and God will put people in your life to help you. You know, there's no real reason that everybody has to go out and build their own superhighway. Sometimes it's just a good idea to use one that's already... I mean, how many of you, if you were going on a trip, and you're in a developed country where you have a great paved road system, how many of you would just take off across the country and say, well, I'm not going to use those roads. I'm not going to use... You know, the road to understanding the gospel, the road just to the Bible, and what it costs in lives of people to get the Word of God to us. There's a super highway to understanding God that we need to make sure that we get on and we follow that. This is so very important. We need to be nourished, take in the nutrition of the Word every day. See, do you do what you hear is to be done when you hear the Word? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. That is regular exposure. That's not just when you come to Christ because you heard the Word of God. You heard the Word of God that brought you into relationship. And if you haven't, then get into the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to these broadcasts. I would challenge you, if you're listening to this and you're laughing or you're saying, oh, I like to listen to this guy because I think he's just really great. I can laugh and think it's so funny. I'm going to challenge you something. I want you to get a Bible that you can read and understand. And I want you to start in the book of John in the New Testament. And I want you to read through John in the book of Acts. But before you do that, I want you to pray to God. I want you to say, okay, God, if you're real, if you're really there, then before I finish these two books in the Bible, you reveal yourself to me. Just challenge him. Say, I want to know. If you're real, you reveal yourself to me. He'll do it. Now, if you're afraid you might be wrong, then you might be afraid to take that challenge. But I'm serious about that. Do that. Now, you know, the disciples asked Jesus, after he had told about this sower going forth to sow, then the disciples asked him about it. You see, the secrets are yours if you will ask for them to be revealed to you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. The Scripture assures us of that. Ask and you will receive. That's a promise that we're given in the Scriptures. So if you have, like the disciples, the desire to know from God, ask and listen closely to His response. You say, well, am I going to hear a loud booming voice from heaven talking to me? You might, but probably not. But I'll tell you something, my friend. You get into the Word of God and you ask God to reveal Himself to you and you read the Word of God, you will find that He will do that very thing. You will learn and know things that had been hidden from you your whole life. You see, Jesus did not hesitate to explain the meaning of His words. They ask, and he didn't hesitate. He explained it. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables. Now, this is what Jesus told them. But to others I speak in parables so that though seeing, they may not see through, though hearing, they may not hear, they may not understand. You say, well, wouldn't Jesus want everybody to know? You have to seek God. You draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. You notice the ones who were near to Him said, explain this to us. And He did it with no hesitation. True understanding comes via a regular cultivated relationship with Christ. A regular cultivated relationship with Christ. That's prayer. That's fasting. That's being in the Word. That's seeking Him. And you will get true understanding. You see, you have been given the gift of understanding if you're a believer. Now, what is a believer? A believer is someone who trusts in and relies on Jesus the Christ. Trusts in and relies on. You say, well, I've never met Him. Well, you can. You can meet Him by just simply asking Him to come into your life. Just give yourself as an offering to your God through Christ. Jesus Christ is God. But you know, your soil is the key. You have control over yourself and what you allow to grow in you. Your soil is your choice. So what you plant yourself into, where you spend your time, your energy, your thought processes, all of these things, because it requires a renewed mind, you get to choose where it happens. Jesus is a gentleman. He doesn't force anyone. But I will tell you, Satan will. Satan will take you farther than you ever thought you wanted to go, and he'll cost you more than you ever wanted to spend to get there. But when it starts out, it'll look so good. Like that friend of mine, some of you heard me talk about, who used to have a financial institution. We were riding along in a car one day, and he was the chairman of the board of this really big financial institution. And he said to me, you know, in my whole career, now this man had been in banking since he was in his 20s, and now he was approaching his 70s. And he said to me, in my whole career, I never ever wrote a bad loan. I was impressed. And I told him so. I said, John, I am really impressed. You have never ever written a bad loan in over 40 years? And he got a slight grin on his face and he says, no, they all went sour later. That's really what Jesus is talking about here. The seed wasn't bad. Some of you are out there thinking that you're bad seed. No, the seed wasn't bad. Just where it's planted wasn't what it could have been. You let God fertilize and nourish your seed through the Word. And you watch, you will find that your seed was a good seed. You know, the old saying is, God don't make no junk. If you're alive and you're able to hear my voice, you're not junk. You see, you're a creature of God, and with just a few simple words from your heart to accept Christ, you can become more than a creature of God. You can become a son of God. You can become a child of God. You know, if I'm a carpenter and I build a coffee table, that's a creation of mine, but it's not my child. But if I have a child, I have a son or a daughter, they're more than something I just created. They're my children. And you can be that with God. You can go from being His creation to being His child. Some people say, well, we're all children of God. No, we're all creations of God. But through Christ, we can become sons and daughters of God. You see, the quality of your seed will depend upon how you nourish it with the Word. Now, I don't mean you're the original quality here. The original quality is good. But you've got to nourish it then. You know, I heard someone say one time, you know, we were talking about nutrition, and someone said, do you know that most farmers take better care of the nutrition of their livestock than they do themselves? I was really kind of surprised when this person said that, and I got to thinking about it, and I thought, well, that's true. They don't feed junk food to their animals. You know? You go to some of these turkey and chicken houses, that stuff is so finely designed, it's really interesting, you see? And I've talked to people who own sheep, and the things that they would see to it that their sheep got to eat, and the nutrition that they got, and the grass that they were able to eat, and this sort of thing. And then you would go to their table and see what they ate. They'd be better off eating with the sheep almost. The quality of your seed will depend upon how you nourish it with the Word. Then there's one more part here, and that is, what seeds do you plant? Do you plant seeds? Are you a seed planter? You say, well, I don't know that I'm a seed planter. I will tell you, if you are alive, you're planting seeds. Whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, you're planting seeds. In everything you do, in every encounter you have with people, you're planting a seed. Now, Jesus made it clear that a seed that survives the knocks of life yields a harvest. I have spent much time around people who felt that they were not surviving the knocks of life. I've seen people who were not surviving the knocks of life. I've spent much time talking to people who wanted to take their own life. I remember a number of years ago, I was needing some papers notarized. And I got to the county seat of this one county in the mountains very late because the roads had been bad and I wasn't able to get there as quickly as I'd hoped. And I got there and it was after all the offices had closed around the courthouse there, where I knew there would be a lawyer's office that would have a notary that could notarize this piece of paper for me that I had to have notarized. And it was very, very cold, bitter cold. And so I looked back in this one little courtyard that was near the courthouse. There were several little offices in a courtyard in the middle of them, and I could see light spilling out the door of one of those offices. All the rest of the offices were dark, but this one had light in it, and the door was open maybe the length of my foot. And so I quickly got out of the car and listened to the snow crunch under my feet as I made my way across the courtyard as fast as I could, not wanting them to close the door and leave maybe out some other door before I got there. So I went into this office, and there was no one in the outer office where there would usually be a secretary, so I called out to see if anyone was there. "Hello, is anyone here?" And I heard a man's voice from the other room say, "I'll be with you in just a moment." I said, "Okay." So in just a couple minutes, this man came out, a man in his late 60s, early 70s, white hair. He said, "Come on in." So I went in and sat down across his desk from him, and he sat down at his desk. And so he was talking to me about, "Well, what do you need?" And I told him what I needed, and I told him, he says, "Well, why do you need this?" Well, what I needed was I needed a passport, and I had to have this piece of paper notarized to get a passport because I was going on a mission journey halfway around the world. And he said, "Oh, so you're in ministry?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "Well, that's interesting that you should be here right now." And I said, "Oh, really?" And he said, "Yes." And he pulled the little drawer right in front of his rather large stomach out and lifted out of it a .45 caliber automatic gun. And he said, "When you called out to me, this was in my mouth and I was about to pull the trigger." Now, you see, I was there convinced I was late and I was not on time. But God, my friend, I don't care who you are or where you are, you're going to be planting some seeds today. But God, even if you think you're not in the right place sometimes, will turn out, if you're in His will and in His kingdom, He'll literally plant you in the right place. In that instance, there on that cold, cold, bitter December night, with the snow crunching under my feet as I scurried toward that door with the light spilling all over the snow, was a divine destiny that God had already planned for me to plant me into this man's life. A life which, as you can tell from this story, might not have lasted much longer. So we talked, and I encouraged him, and we talked about the Lord, and he began to light up when he put the gun back in the drawer. And he said, "I'm so glad you came when you did." And he was so despondent because his daughter and he had been estranged, and it was just past Christmas, and he hadn't seen her for Christmas because this was the week between Christmas and New Year's. And he was so despondent and so discouraged because this was his only child, and this was the only relative he had really left in the world, and he felt so worthless that he was going to take his own life. And as we talked, and he told me about his daughter, and I would say some things back, just as the Lord gave me, you know, things to say, he became encouraged. And so finally he said, "Well, I imagine you've got to be going, and I think I'm going to go see my daughter." He said, "Here, I better notarize this for you." And so he notarized it and clamped his seal down on it so it was proof that he was a real notary. And there he was. And I said, "What do I owe you?" And he chuckled and said, "What do you owe me?" He said, "I'm still alive. You owe me nothing." And I went my way, and he went on down to this restaurant to meet his daughter and take her to dinner and try to iron out their differences. But you see, he had convinced himself that his seed was bad, that he was bad and his seed, his daughter, was bad. And this is what he'd convinced himself of. And I talked to him about the quality of the seed that God has. You know, some seed we have to take in, and that seed is the Word of God. and other seed we have to plant. And that is the Word of God bearing a harvest in us. And when we plant that, we have to help nourish it and care for it. What kind of seeds do you plant? As I said, Jesus made it clear that a seed that survives the knocks of life yields a harvest. What are you harvesting? Notice here the word yields. When we produce, we must yield or give away, in other words, gift, some of ourselves to produce seeds that will, in turn, grow healthily and in turn produce a hundredfold crop. You never know, my friend, when you plant a seed, if you plant a seed for ill, you never know. Can you imagine a hundredfold return on evil? Can you imagine a hundredfold return on good? Oh, plant the good seeds, my friends. Plant the seeds from the kingdom of God. God himself planted a seed when he sent his son, his only begotten son, Jesus the Christ, to die for you because he loved you so much. Oh, he did not send him into the world to condemn you or the world, but that the world through him would be saved, healed, and delivered, and brought into the ability to bring a hundredfold seed in the kingdom of God. You see, reaping is a reward, a blessing, as a good and faithful servant of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Grow, go, plant, and raise the crop of Christ in your life. Fertilize it. Love it. Stay in the Word. Draw close to Him, and He will draw close to you. Develop a holy garden with your life. Where the seeds planted means so much. My friend, plant yourself in the Word of God. Thank God the Father for the seed of His Son, the Word, the book of John tells us. And live your life for Him, and let God produce a hundredfold crop from you of blessing and good in His kingdom. Well, that concludes the teaching for this session. If you need to talk to someone or be in contact with someone or learn more, go to our site, sojournershub.org. Send me an email, thesojourner@sojournershub.org. I'll be glad to correspond with you. I'll be glad to make suggestions so that you can find a church home. If you can't find one, then we'll find a way that you can relate to one of our churches. So now I'm going to pronounce this blessing on you, and this will bring this program to a close. The blessings of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.